While they're getting a battery, let me go ahead and read my text. Acts chapter 9, we're getting to read verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said to him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 22. And let me begin reading just verse number 12. The Bible says, And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers have chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see the just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Now, turn back with me to Acts chapter number 9. Here's the question Paul asked in verse number 6. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now I believe at this time Paul's a saved man. And salvation, let me say, salvation and service go hand in hand. When you get saved, there should be something inside of you that wants to serve the Lord. But what jumped out at me in this passage? Well, we have a man that says, Lord, what would you have me to do? 3 days later, Ananias comes on scene and here's what he says. We read it in Acts 22. The God of our fathers have chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear his voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be a witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Here he is, he's saved. He says, Lord, what would you have me to do? And God tells him, Hey, I've chosen you. You're going to bear my name and all. Now, God wants him to be a witness to all men. Now, does Paul know he's going to be an apostle at this time? No. Does he know he's going to be a missionary? No. Does he know he's going to write some of the canon of Scripture? No. He don't know any of those details. But what he does know is that God wants to use him to be a witness unto all men. What I want you to see, he has some direction for his life. He may not have all the details, but God has given him direction in 3 days. Now, why is it that many of God's people across this land have been saved year after year after year, and you say, what's God wanting to do for your life? What is God wanting to use you to do? I don't know. Never really thought about it. What's wrong? Why do we see a man here that in 3 days he knows what God's wanting to do with his life, but many of us, we sit on the pews, and we don't know what God wants to do with us. You say, well, Paul's conversion, he had a miraculous conversion. He had a miraculous call upon his life. Let me remind you of something. Your conversion was miraculous. Amen. You may not realize it, but if you could see as God saw, you have a miraculous conversion. Amen. And you know what? God wants to do something with your life. You have a miraculous call upon your life. God didn't place you in the body of Christ to do nothing. He has a purpose for you, but what is it? What did Paul have that enabled him that in just a few days he knew what God wanted for his life? Why is it that we can't find it? I mean, is God sitting up there and he's got his wheel hid for our life? He'll never find it here. God ain't like it. God wants us to know. God wants us to serve. Hey, there's the eternity of people. Their souls are resting upon what we do. But we just can't seem to find it. And so what I want to look at just for a few minutes, what did Paul have that helped him find direction for his life that we're missing today? And the first thing I want you to notice, let me say this, in Paul's eyes, he was somebody. Now think about this for a minute. Here he is. He's got a great education. Religiously, I mean, here he is. He's tied in, Pharisee of Pharisees. I mean, he's got it good. He's got a good pedigree. Here he is. He can come down. He can put the fear in man. I mean, when he comes to town, everybody's scared. You know what I suspect he's full of? Pride. I mean, here he is. Men are afraid of him. Can you imagine how proud he'd have to feel? I mean, look at me. Man, they're scared of me. I can go in and flex my muscle. Those Christians are terrified of me. But you know what the first thing I see after this conversion right here? I see humility. You know what he is? He's blind. Now picture, here's this proud man on his way to Damascus. He's got his letters. Boy, I'm going to haul them off. I'm going to flex my muscle. I'm going to drag them out and I'm taking them back to Jerusalem. But just like that, you know what I see? I see a man that's blind that can't even find his own way. That quick, God's brought him to a place of humility. You know what hinders us a lot of times from finding what God wants for our lives? It's our pride. We think we're somebody. You know why we think we're somebody? We compare ourselves to the wrong standard. We can go down on the job and we look at how they live their lives, how they talk, what the things they do, and you know what? You can feel pretty good about yourself. You can come in the house of God and you can look upon people that are half backslid and say, they're not doing this and I'm doing this and they're not doing that and look at what I'm doing. And we feel pretty good, don't we? But you know what? When you start comparing yourself to right here, what thus saith the Word of God, that's the standard by which God's people are to compare themselves by. And you know what you're going to find out? We really don't have a whole lot to brag about, do we? Bible says this, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. God hates pride. The reason we can't find direction for our lives and find God's will for our lives, we're proud people. We think we're something because we compare ourselves with one another. 2 Corinthians 10 and 12 says this, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves to some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. You know what one of the most foolish things you can do spiritually is compare yourself to another believer. The Bible says you're not wise. We're to compare ourselves with the Word of God. None of us have arrived. You know what that Word of God is? It's a mirror. It'll show us exactly what we are. There's times, Brother Bud, I'll start thinking I'm a pretty good looking fella. There's times I'll say, man, my wife is just lucky to have me. But you know what? There's that stupid mirror right there I'll see every day. And you know what I see? I see wrinkles on my face. I see my hair falling out. I see scars. I see every imperfection. And if I look in that mirror long enough, you know what I'm saying? Man, I'm lucky to have a wife as good as I got. You know why? That mirror revealed to me what I am. You know what this Word of God will do? It will reveal to us exactly what we are. But you know what our problem is? We don't stare at it. A quick glance, you're not going to see the problem. I get up, I can brush my teeth and walk right out the door, and I've went to Home Depot before, my hair just standing all over my head. Never saw it. You know why? I didn't examine. I didn't take time. There was the mirror. I stood right in front of it, but there was no examination. That's what a lot of our problems, that's why we're so full of pride. We read the Word of God, we look at it, but we never examine ourselves by it. We'll examine everybody else by it, but we never look at ourselves through the eyes of God, through the Word of God. And when we'll do that, it'll get rid of every ounce of pride we got. We have nothing to be proud of. And so we see, first of all, one reason Paul could find direction for his life was he had humility. And secondly, notice what the Bible said, verse number 6. And he trembling astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. He obeyed the revealed truth he had. You know, God gave him just a simple instruction. Arise, go into the city. I mean, it can't get much simpler than that. But if he refused to obey that one little truth, he'd remain blind. He'd never crossed paths with Ananias. He would have never known that God had chosen him to bear witness unto all men. He would have missed out on God's will for his life and lived a spiritually defeated life. You know why? Because there was a simple truth that God gave him to do, and he wouldn't obey it. You know how you can live spiritually defeated? When we start picking and choosing what we'll obey. Lord, I'm going to obey that, but Lord, now I'm not doing this one, but I'll do this one over here. You're going nowhere spiritually. When he obeyed the revealed truth that he had, God gave him more truth. We sit on the pew and we wonder why God's not telling us to do anything. We've not obeyed what he's already told us to do. But you know what really amazes me about this? Here's a simple command, arise and go into the city. Can he do it? He's blind. Here's a simple command, arise and go into the city. And he can't do it on his own. And I started just thinking about those men that led him into the city. Had those men not been there to help him, he couldn't have got there. And I started looking at the words that was used to describe them. Notice what it says. And the men which journeyed, verse number 7, with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And it says in the latter part of verse 8, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. When I read those just four little things about those men, I started thinking about the men that's helped me in my life. The men that have been there to help lead and guide me. And you know what we need? We need to surround ourselves with men with the same characteristics as these. Number one, they were speechless. Don't surround yourself with people that always talk a good game. Talk is the cheapest thing in the world. Everybody knows what to say. Everybody knows the words you want to hear. But you know what? They're not doing it. Here's a group of men, they're speechless. They're not saying a word. But you know what they are doing? They're leading by example. They led him. They didn't say, hey, you do this and you do that. You know what they did? They took him by the hand and said, right here's the way you need to go. So we see they were speechless in hearing a voice. Surround yourself with men that aren't worried about always talking. Surround yourself with men who knows what it is to hear from God. Who knows what it means to hear that voice. Surround yourself with men. Notice what it says here, but seeing no man. Surround yourself with men who don't have their eyes on other men. You want to obey God. You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have some help. Listen, we all need help. None of us have arrived. That's what we're here for. We're one body. We work and we help one another. And those simple revealed truths that we read and we think, man, that's simple. You know what? We can't do them on our own. We still got this flesh to contend with. You know what we need? We need to surround ourselves with good, godly men and women that will help us, that will take us by the hand and help lead and guide us to obedience. You surround yourself with people that won't promote obedience, that aren't interested in serving God, and you know what? You're not going anywhere. You surround yourself with carnal believers. You're not going anywhere. You surround yourself with people that don't know what it's like to hear from God, who don't want to obey truth in their life. You're going nowhere spiritually. You know what's helped me in my life? Having a group of men I think the time, looking back in my life, I feel like when I grew the most spiritually was when we was in that little Sunday school class downstairs, Pastor. It was me and Brother John and my, it's just a few of us. There wasn't many at that time. But you know what it did? I was surrounded by a group of men, and you know what they did? They pushed me to obey. Man, I'd come in there and I'd read something, and I mean, it's just constantly, we helped one another. We pushed each other to obey the Scriptures. And you know what I did? I grew. You know why? Because I was surrounded with some good men who wanted to serve God. And they weren't just telling me what to do. You know what they were doing? They were leading the way. And they made it easy for me to follow. You know why? Because they was taking me by the hand. Some personal application just take me by the hand and saying, this is the way you need to go. This is what God's want for your life. So many times we read out of the Word of God what God wants for us. And our flesh is so easy to just rebel and say, I can't do that. I'm not doing that. But you surround yourself with some men who want to serve God. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to promote obedience in your life. Here's where Paul, he found direction for his life. Number one, he had humility. He obeyed the revealed truth he had. And one way he did that was he surrounded himself. He had some men who could help lead him. And then thirdly, notice verse number 11. The Bible says, and the Lord said, speaking to Ananias, and the Lord said to him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. You can look back in verse number 9, he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. Here he is for 3 days, he can't see, and you know what he's doing? He's fasting and he's praying. You know why we don't know what God wants for our life? We're not praying people. That's just the fact of it. On the board back there, attendance, 78, 75. Saturday night prayer, you know how many we'll have? 6 or 7. You know why? We're not praying people. You say, preacher, I pray at home. I hope you do. But you know what? All I can base it on is Saturday night prayer. When nobody shows up, it's hard for me to believe that you're a praying man when we've had Saturday night prayer for 4 or 5 years. I don't know how long we've had it. And you've never darkened the door. I hope you are a praying person. But you know what? All I've got to base it on is what I see. That fruit, that's all I can base it on. And when I don't see the fruit, you know what makes me wonder? If we're praying people. I mean, that's just fact of it. It's harsh, and I understand people work. But the bottom line is this. Do people see that you're a prayer warrior? Do they see that prayer is important in your life? Paul found direction because he was a man of prayer. He's fasting. He's praying. He's wanting to know what God wants for his life. We sit there and we talk a good game. Lord, I want God to use me. I want to know what God wants for my life. But you know what? How much prayer we put into it. We ever fasted? You ever fasted for 3 days just saying, God, show me what you want for my life? Paul did. You know what he found 3 days later? He found direction for his life. He found what God wanted to use him for. I was reading by, I forget how I was reading, maybe in Butler, but he said this. He said, you look in the book of Acts, he said, the early church, they fasted and prayed. He said, you take churches today, we feast and play. And there's a lot of truth to that. The early church had power. Churches across this land, we've lost it. You know why? I'm convinced it's fasting and prayer. We're not praying people. You talk to some people, they got the answers to everything. You name the problem, here's what you need to do. You think they pray over it? Hey, I'm leery to take advice from anybody that I don't think prays. You know what I love about my pastor? I can call him and say, Pastor, I'm having a problem. What do you think I need to do about this? And you know what he says? Let me pray about it for a day or two and I'll get back with you. Man, that's the man I want to listen to. That's the advice I want to take. Somebody that will take time to get along with God and hear what God has to say. Life's too short. Do you know there have been a lot of people that have ended up a casualty because they've listened to somebody give them advice that don't even know nothing about what God wants for their life? Hey, if you won't take time to pray, don't give advice to people. If you ain't interested enough in the beseeching, intercede on their behalf to God, just keep your mouth shut. You ain't got nothing to say. Nobody wants to hear what you think. God's the only one that can help them. And so, Paul, we see that he was a prayerful person. And let me say, you're never going to prosper spiritually without a prayer life. That's just the fact of it. We all want to be used, and it's natural. Every one of us, we want to be used to God. We want to grow. We want God to do something great with our life. But if you're not a praying man, the fact is it ain't going to happen. If you don't pray, there's going to be no direction for your life. But we see Paul's a prayer. He's a prayerful man. But then let me say this lastly. When Ananias came, he was willing to listen to godly counsel. Now here's what God had told him. Look at verse number 12. Talking about Paul. Says, "Behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight." Now here's what God has revealed to Paul. Ananias is going to come in. He's going to put his hand on you. You're going to receive your sight back. Do you know when Paul found out that he was a chosen vessel unto God? Look at Acts 22. Verse number 13. Thomas came unto me and stood and said to me, "Brother Saul, receive thy sight." And the same hour I looked upon him. And he said, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see the just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." You know when it was revealed to him? It was after the miracle of him getting his sight back. Now what if when he came in and healed, what if Paul said, "All right, you've done, I'm done with you. I've got my sight back. I don't need you anymore." He'd never found out, would he? You know what I see he was willing to do? He was willing to listen. You know, God could have revealed any way he wanted to what he wanted for Paul's life. But you know what he did? He chose to use a man named Ananias. Don't know nothing else about him except this little passage right here. This Paul's conversion, the only time he's mentioned. But God used him. And you know, a lot of times God will use his people. Listen, God works through his people to accomplish his will. A lot of times he'll work through us. And so many times we won't listen to people. I mean, Ananias, he knew what God wanted him to say. He knew what Paul needed. He was going to tell him, "God's chosen you." But what if Paul would just said, "I'm not listening to you"? There's a lot of people. They never get direction for their life. You know why? They won't listen. The man of God gets up and preaches. He's prayed all week. Got God's message. God's going to use that message to answer their need, to reveal what they need from their life. And you know what they do? They sit on the church pew and they don't listen. "I'm here, but I'm not going to listen." Did you know every service God has something for you? Every service. You say, I mean, whether from salvation, whatever it may be, there's something in every message for every man. When the pastor gets up and preaches on Sunday morning, you know what? There's something in that message to help each and every one of us. We're all at different places. We all got different battles, different struggles. But God can take that word and the Holy Spirit can help us and speak to our hearts. And the reason we don't have the direction we need is we don't listen. We think we've got all the answers. We think we know what needs to be done. And we do not listen. Paul found direction for his life in 3 short days because he was humble. Because he was willing to obey the truth that he had. He was prayerful and he was willing to listen. 3 days, he knows that God has chosen him to be a witness unto all men. And here we see it. Some of God's people have been saved 20, 30 years. Don't know what God wants for life. They have no spiritual direction for their life. What we need to do is clothe ourselves in humility. The truth that we know we need to obey. We need to be some prayerful people. We need to fast and pray and seek God's direction. And we need to listen to people. We need to listen to the man of God. And God will give us the direction that we desire. But you know what? We cannot do those things and we can spend our entire life sitting on the church pew wondering what if. Wonder what God could have done if I just found this out 10 years ago. Wonder where my life could have been. Wonder what my family could have been like if I just obeyed what truth I knew 10 years ago. I don't want to live my life wondering what if or what could have been. I want to find God's direction for my life and I want to go at it. And you know what? As Paul went, you know, God just, as you obey, more things are revealed. Paul, as I said before, he didn't know he was going to be an apostle. He didn't know all the details. But what he did know was God had chosen him to be a witness unto all men. We can find direction for our life, but we're going to have to do those things Paul did. We got to be humble. Obey what we know to do. Be prayerful. Listen to the man of God when he has to speak, and God will give us direction. Pastor, you come on. Well, if you want to get a song. If you want to bow your heads, you may be here tonight. We all struggle with finding direction for our life. We all struggle with knowing God's will. That's just part of the battle. But you know what? I'm convinced if we'll humble ourselves and do those things Paul did, pray, obey what truth we know to do, and just listen to the man, God will give it to us. But what you've got to ask yourself is, do I really want it? Anybody can talk a good game. Anybody can say, hey, I want God to use me. But you know what? If you truly want to be used, you're going to have to do these things. And it's going to be, you're going to have to do the work on your part. Brother Allen, well, they sing a verse of Scripture. If you need to come pray, you come and pray.